I think by the announcement I made this morning, I put myself in a box. I said that we would have the usual service in length and that I would bring the evangelistic message as usual. Therefore, I'm bringing the evangelistic message. Now, I realize there are some steps skipped in my logic, and you do too. I can tell by the way you laugh. May I then ask you, if you will, please give attention, and I will, I believe, bring you a series of thoughts in this text that you will never forget. I would like to think of the subject of the Christian's communion, then his confession, and his compassion. We all need all three. We've been dealing considerably of late with the sovereignty of God. When I find my people troubled over something, I always go to the Lord and ask Him to lead me and lay upon my heart those things that will help those people to understand. Last week we were on the subject of full assurance of faith. And in treating this subject, which became the foundation for the message of tonight as it was planned, a sequel message, I said that faith is made up of believing a testimony. Here's the Bible. You believe the testimony of the Bible, you trust its promises, and you accept the gift of God's Son. But you see, those who are afflicted with extreme notions about the sovereignty of God ask the question, but who takes the initiative? Do I or does God? An artist by the name of Poussin, P-O-U-S-S-I-N, lived in the 16th and 17th century, was the artist to Louis XIII. And he has a picture in the Louvre in Paris that I'd like to use tonight as a parable. It's a picture of the two blind men who were healed by Jesus in Jericho. Two blind men healed in Jericho is the subject of the picture. And to look at it, you'd find nothing unusual about it. Yet it preaches a great message. Here it is, Jesus, of course, in the foreground, beautifully portrayed on the canvas with delicate and marvelous colors. And here's the groupings that you would expect and well balanced. And then here are the faces with the features that are narrative and tell a story in themselves. But something you might not notice is a peasant's cottage off on one corner of the picture and an open door. And leading up to the open door, a series of humble steps. And lying on the steps is the cane of one of the blind men who had heard that Jesus was coming. And he believed the testimony that he could really make him to see. He trusted the promise that those who would believe in him would receive the blessing. And he left his cane with sightless eyes and walks out midway to meet Jesus, the healer of the blind. And in this, the artist is saying, in the vernacular of the day, Jesus will meet you halfway when you come to trust him. And if you want to put it the other way, you must meet Jesus halfway. And when you have left these two ideas, for any so-called doctrines of men, you cannot find them in the Word of God. Because where the sovereignty of God and the free moral agency of man's will end and begin, no one has ever been able to define. Now with that thought, let us come to the text tonight. Because last Sunday night's message was a foundation for this. And what we say tonight's predicated by those three thoughts that I gave last Sunday night. Let us notice, and we use a literary device for our outline. Let us, you find it three times. What does he say? He said, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, and a heart sprinkled from an evil conscience. Now that's communion with God. And then notice in the second place, let us hold fast the profession, but let us translate it accurately. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. You see, this is on faith, hope, and love. And then in the end, let us, notice, let us provoke or consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. All right? Now we consider the first, which is salvation. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith and a heart sprinkled from an evil conscience. You know, the word conscience doesn't appear in the Old Testament, neither in meaning nor in word. The only meaning of it in the Old Testament is a corporate conscience of a nation. But Paul uses it in the New Testament to mean the voice of judgment of right and wrong in the hearts of men. So let us clear our terms. Now in the second place, let us look back at the blind man. Let us notice, he says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. All right, he believes the promise. He believes the testimony. And now he is going to come trusting the promise and to accept the gift. May I use the illustration? When I visited the British Museum, there were different documents I wanted to see. Having studied in the New Testament Greek, I wanted to see Sinaiticus, which I did, manuscript Sinaiticus. I also wanted to see the Magna Carta, upon which some of our law is based, especially the Bill of Rights. I also wanted to see the Proclamation of Jubilee. Queen Victoria, 1887, celebrating 50 years of the Victorian era, performed for the crown a proclamation of Jubilee, in which she said, everyone in the kingdom who had been truant to the forces of the crown, whether it was the army, the navy, whatever it was, everyone who had been rebellious, everyone who had denied their authority, everyone who had escaped and dropped out of existence, she said, they can come back and receive a pardon. They'll be pardoned for everything. Well, when we think of those who are truants of justice, from having absented themselves from military training in a great empire like that, they would have numbered in the hundreds, in the thousands. But they said there were many who did not come back for their pardon. One, they must have, first of all, they must not have had any confidence in the testimony of their ruler. And how could they doubt her? In the second place, they may have refused to believe her promise that they would receive a pardon. And in the third place, they couldn't get the pardon unless they came personally to receive it. And somehow it seems to me a parable of what Jesus is saying to a lost world dying in sin. He said, don't you believe my promise when I say, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. They either don't believe his testimony, they don't trust his promise, or they're not willing to come and receive the gift of salvation. Now, that is the first step. The second step is similar. And he said, in the second place, let us hold fast the confession of our hope, for he is faithful that promised. When the evangelist Bill Hall was here, he brought us an illustration on the 56th chapter and the 10th verse of the book of Isaiah. It would be well for us to read it. I'm indebted to him for this illustration. His watchmen are blind. We're all watchmen in this hour of darkness. They're all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough. And I wonder if this is not a picture of many people. Many people who refuse to bring a testimony for the hope that is within them. He said, let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. I wonder how many of us have gone by today without a confession of our hope. without any word whatever that we're any different than the wicked world that swirls around us in the deepest dregs of degradation and open sin. I wonder how many of us are any better than they. But let us pass for the sake of time to the next point, when he said, we should also provoke one another to love. If you're confused about the word provoke here, and as I came and I read it in the original, I thought, how can the meaning of this ever be carried across? He said, notice, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Well, you'll always remember this word provoke because it's a transliteration of paroxysm. Now, can you think how many times you have given someone a paroxysm of love? How many times? A paroxysm of love. Now, I recall I was at a party one time, and one of the ladies left the party sobbing, didn't even wait to get her coat. She left the party sobbing, like her heart would break, went out through the back door, and absented herself from the party. Some other lady had her feelings, and I want to say, you know, men cannot be as nice as women. That's true. But there's a negative pole, too, to that same question. They don't know how to be as mean as women, either. You know, it was Kipling who said, the female of the species is more deadly than the male. The ladies don't like to hear that. And I said, oh, I said there must be, it must have been something not intended. Oh, no, it was intentional. And then the one who had wielded the paroxysm of sorrow and suffering on this soul said, I've been waiting to catch her. Oh, yeah, a paroxysm of pain and suffering. Let us provoke one another unto a paroxysm of love, he said. How many have provoked another unto a paroxysm of fear? How many have? But the text says, provoke people unto a paroxysm of love. What a tremendous chapter. Now, if we look at the text again carefully, he says, let us consider one another. Let us change it. Let's have compassion on one another. We have communion with God. In the second place, then, we have a confession of faith to others in the horizontal relationships of life. And you know, the first is upward. The second one you can find very easily. Our confession of faith is outward. But this one, notice, a paroxysm of love has to come from an inward witness and ministry. Now, I'd like to use a parable as a closing illustration as I shorten this message. The parable is this. If I might take you by the hand with me to a call I made last Monday morning, something after an 8 o'clock breakfast in one of the rest homes of the city. I was visiting one who had been a member here for almost 30 years. She did not know I was coming. I only learned through a mutual friend on Sunday that she was removing from this city to another one more than 100 miles away, and there was a great crisis in her life. I had seen this one pass through grief when her husband passed away. I had seen her have to break up housekeeping and go to the home. She had ridden the bus to this church for weeks, months, then became so invalid she had to depend upon the radio. And as I came this morning unannounced, hadn't been there long until her son appeared, and there were three of us. But when I came in, The radio was on, WCTS FM, which is broadcasting this service tonight. When I came, her bed was stripped in the corner. The door stood open. She sat in a chair on the distant wall watching the open door. She was so delighted when she saw me coming. You could tell by the emotion in her voice and on her face how delighted she was, and she repeated the welcome a number of times. And it wasn't long until we were drawn near with a true heart. Yea, as this text tells us here, in full assurance of faith, communion with God. Because there came over the radio the first step of the message. Heaven came down and filled my soul. When the Savior went at the cross, the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away. My night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. I looked at her, she looked at me. Oh, she says, how can people get along without the Lord? What do they do, she said, when trouble comes? But it wasn't long until someone came to the door, calling her by her first name. Standing in the open doorway, she said, Jenny, Jenny, Jenny. I turned. I wasn't sure she heard. I said, someone at the door. And she went to the open doorway. And it was one standing who was completely deaf and completely blind. And my hostess went to the door and took her hand and wrote the message in her hand. And in the writing of the message in her hand, she fulfilled here, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Yes, she says, I know, Jenny. But remember, she says, God is in Albert Lee, too. She was saying that the Lord is in that place that still lies ahead of us in the untrodden pathway of life. And one with sightless eyes and ears that could not tune in the melodies of God's nature could give a full confession of hope. And as they smiled, embraced each other, mingled their tears and kissed, I thought, what a beautiful picture. But it didn't end there. It went on. She came and went. Another came and went. And another came and went. And then, after some 6 or 8 goodbyes that I witnessed, she said, you know, the most of these ladies are in our Tuesday night prayer meeting. And she's there coming to tell me goodbye. What a beautiful parable of coming boldly with a true heart. Yea, to receive that only fellowship we can have with God through the cross. What a beautiful picture of a confession of hope. And what a beautiful provoking of one another in love. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, for thy grace we are eternally welcome. For thy precious word, our God, we thank thee. And we ask thee in these moments that it may be the living word of God. Yea, that it may bring sight to the blind. That it may bring life to the dead. That it may bring uprightness to those who are downtrodden and enslaved by sin. We pray and trust it all in Jesus' name. Amen.